My name is Keith Lovett, and I represent the Gideons, and that's my beautiful wife, Kelly Lovett. And it's good to be here with you this morning to fellowship and to worship. To hear so many children in the Vacation Bible School, that's a blessing to my heart. I was reminded of a proverb that says, train a child up in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. And it is truly a blessing. I will share some scripture with you this morning, a little bit about the Gideons, some testimonies about the power of God's word, and then I'll finish up. In the 12th chapter of John, Jesus said, if I be lifted up, I will draw all men unto myself. And it is so fitting that we had this Lord's Supper today, because I have come here to lift up Jesus Christ and the power of his word, the holy scriptures which are able to make you wise unto salvation through your faith in Jesus Christ. And faith comes by hearing the words of God. Now in the 4th chapter of John, the Bible says that Jesus had a need to go through Samaria. Now when he came to Jacob's well, he met a Samaritan lady there, and he offers her the living water. Now, I believe her to have accepted this living water by her actions. She went and told others about Jesus. And as she went and told the others about Jesus, they came to see Jesus. And he told his disciples, the fields are white for the harvest. He who reaps receives wages and gathers fruit unto eternal life. Those that sow and those who reap shall rejoice together. That is what the church and the Gideons, we are partnered together to reach those who are lost, to tell others about Jesus Christ. Now Jesus, the scripture teaches us that Jesus came to this earth born of a virgin, and he dwelt among us, and he taught us how to live and how we should love one another. He was crucified. He died on the cross for our sins. By the blood of Jesus and by his blood alone are we made righteous and holy before God. Jesus was placed in a tomb, and on the third day, God raised him from the dead. And the Bible teaches us that if we believe these things in our heart and confess them with our mouth, then we have been saved. We have been born again. We are a new creation. Old things have passed away. All things have become new. All who call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Jesus told us that all that the Father gives me shall come to me, and he that comes to me I will in no way cast out. Now, after Jesus had risen from the dead, he appeared to his disciples for 40 days. And before he ascended up to heaven to sit on the right hand of God, he told them, you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be a witness unto me. Now that is what the Gideons are about. We tell people about Jesus Christ, and we take his word where it is not. We take God's word into the prisons. And what a ministry that is. To go into a prison, a very dark place, and it's a little intimidating, but you go in there and it feels like Jesus is just right there beside you, and you're just lifting him up to those guys and handing them a Bible and praying with them. It's truly a great ministry. We take God's word into the prisons and into the schools, to the military, police, fire, and medical personnel. We place God's words in the hotels, motels, convalescent homes, and hospitals. We believe that the word of God has the power and the ability to change a man's life. Excuse me. I got to get a drink of this water. I get so thirsty. In the 12th chapter of Revelation, the Bible says, the devil, the accuser of the brethren, the one who has come to steal and to kill and destroy, he was overcome by the blood of the Lamb, Jesus Christ. by the words of their testimony, what Jesus had done in their lives, and by loving not their lives unto the death, to be totally committed to Jesus Christ, to deny the things of this world and be submitted to His will. I will share with you now some testimonies about the power of God's Word. The Gideons in Tennessee, they wanted to go to the schools and do a Bible distribution. And they go to the principal of the school and they ask her, may we come and hand out Bibles to the students? And she said, no, absolutely not. So they get on the sidewalk in front of the school, which is their constitutional right to do, and they're handing out testaments as the children are coming to school. Well, the principal drives up, and she sees this happening, and she comes running up to the students screaming for them not to take the Bibles. She even took some of the Bibles away from the students. And she screamed for the Gideons to leave, but they would not. So she goes and calls the police. And the police arrive, and they ask the Gideons to leave. And they do because, you know, they don't want to cause a ruckus or anything. But they were able to give out 200 testaments that morning to those children. And one of those was a little boy by the name of Russell. Now, Russell, the following year, he was late for school one morning, and he run out in the street, and he was struck and killed just a few feet from where he had received his testament. Now, the pastor who was to do the funeral service, he went to the parents' home to ask him what did Russell like, what was his hobbies and whatever. And see, Russell had not been to church. His parents were not churched people. And they said, well, he was just a normal kid, you know, but he did like that little testament that the Gideons had given him. And so they give it to him, and he put it in his pocket and forgot all about it. Well, it come the day of the funeral service, and Pastor, I'm sure you understand this, how sad the pastor must have been for to have a funeral service for someone who did not know the Lord. Well, he come to the part where he's going to pull out the testament, and he was going to show it that Russell, he liked the little testament. Whew. But for some reason, he turned to the back of it, and the pastor, he just started weeping. And there, written in the back of the little testament, Russell had written, I love God, Russell. Now, you see, signing your name in the back of the book, it saves no one. Jesus is the only one that can save a person. But it was his written confession that he had asked Jesus to save him. And he looked at his parents, and he told them, he said, your son is with Jesus in heaven. You see, God has promised that his word will not return void. It's going to accomplish what he pleases and prosper where he sends it. There was a little girl. She's in Columbia, and she receives her testament from the Gideons. And she goes on, Dad, look what they give me at school today, Dad. He looks at it. He says, take that and put it in your room. The only way you're going to get anywhere in this life is to study your school books to become smarter, more knowledge. Well, she does. She takes it and puts it in her room. But she gets curious. And she gets it down, and over time she's reading it, and she becomes convicted. And she asks Jesus to save her. And she signs the back of her little testament. And she gets up her courage, and she says, she goes in there to her dad. Dad, you're wrong about this book, Dad. Jesus has saved me. He said, look, Dad, I signed the back of this book. He grabbed it away from her and he stuck it in his shirt pocket. He said, I told you not to be reading that book. He said, you're not going to get anywhere doing that. And he goes to work. Well, her dad works in a coal mine. He's a coal miner. That day at work, him and 31 other men are trapped beneath the earth. There's a cave in. Well, they have a rescue effort, but they're too late. These men are all deceased, and this little testament is laying there among them. Well, the rescue workers, they look at it, and they turn to the back, and it's the little girl's name written there. There's 31 other names below her name, And at the bottom, her dad has signed it, and he's written her a note. He said, "You're right about this book. You see, God has told us in the book of Jeremiah that my word is like a fire. It is like a hammer that breaks the rock, the hard, stony rock of a man's heart, so that the truth of God's word can enter in and change that man forever." Joplin Emerson, this is his testimony. He was leaving school one day, and a Gideon was standing there. And as he drove by, he handed him a testament. He threw it in his car, and he forgot all about it. Forgot all about it. I must have been talking too loud. Joplin said every day of his high school career, he took drugs before school, during school, and after school. He said he remembers one day of his senior year at 8:30 in the morning, he had overdosed, and he was in the nurse's station, and he said, "How in the world did my life get in such a mess?" But it didn't change. He didn't change. He just continued on. He managed to graduate from high school, and he just became more involved in the drug culture, joined a gang. And he said at the age of 22, after just a horrible day, just many bad things had happened, and it's 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning, he couldn't sleep, and said for the first time, he seriously contemplated suicide. He got to thinking about it, and he said, "Well, if there really is a hell, that's where I'm going for sure, the way I've lived." And he said he didn't know how. He had no recollection of really of keeping up with that little testament, but it was just laying there. So he gets it, and he starts reading right at the front in Matthew. And he comes to Matthew 7:7, and the Bible says, "Ask and it will be given you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened unto you. Everyone that asks is given. Seeks will find, and knocks it will be opened." And he said, "Well, that's the strangest thing." He said, "I'm everyone. Look at me, you know." And he said he had no Christian influence in his life whatsoever. No, none of his folks were Christians. None of his friends were Christians. Just nothing, no Christian influence. He did not know how to pray. Said he just looked up toward heaven, and he said, "Lord, if you're real, just show me something, Lord. I'm going to try this, Lord, for 30 days. Just show me something." Joplin said that he knew that if he was going to be asking and seeking and knocking, that he needed to just get some things straight in his life to try to do better. So for 2 Sundays, he went to his local church. He said the best way he could describe it, it was cold. Nobody spoke to him. Nobody even acknowledged him. And after the service, he would leave. Nothing happened. So the 3rd Sunday come around. And he said, "Well, if anything's going to happen, I got to get out of town." So he drove out of town to a church. He just stopped, pulled in, and he sit through the service. Nothing happened. But after the service, he was leaving, and this little old lady comes up to him, and she asked him, "Son, have you ever been to this church?" He said, "No, ma'am." And she said, "Son, would you come back? Would you come back to church?" And he said, he had on his gang clothes, and he had on his ear bobs and his nose bobs and tattoos, you know, he's a pretty rough looking customer. But this little old lady, she asked him to come back to church. And it was the first time anyone had asked him to come to church. He said he didn't know why, but all week, all he could think about was that little old lady asking him to come to church. And he couldn't wait. He couldn't wait for Sunday to come around. So he goes back to church. And said there was a preacher there. And for the first time in his life, he heard the word of God preached in the power of the Holy Spirit. And he said, you just listened to that man and you knew that he believed what he was saying. And he said as the preacher walked by him, he remembered saying to himself, whatever that man's got, I want it. I want to stop right there just a minute. Do you know Elijah? Y'all know the story of Elijah, where he stood before the 850 prophets by himself, and he asked God to send down fire and to burn up the altar, the offering there, the bull or whatever. And then Jezebel got after him. She didn't like him killing all her prophets. He killed all of those prophets afterwards, and she didn't like that. She was after him. And Elijah, he went and hid in a cave. And God called Elijah out to the mouth of the cave, and he sent an earthquake, wind, and fire. Said it was breaking the rocks, just a terrible commotion. But the Lord wasn't in these things. And then Elijah heard a still, small voice, and it was the Lord. Well, I believe that's what Joplin heard. He said when he asked, Lord, whatever that man's got, I want it. He heard that still, small voice, and he said, ask, and it will be given. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and it will be opened unto you. He said when the altar call came, he run to the front of that church, and he didn't know the sinner's prayer. He didn't know anything. He just got on his knees and he was weeping. And he said, Jesus, I'm sorry. Jesus, I'm sorry. Jesus, I'm sorry. Over and over and over. He got up from that altar. And Joplin never took drugs again. He is now a pastor in a church. And his testimony is that he has helped to lead others, many others that was like him, to the Lord. And God has told us that his word is alive and is powerful. It's sharper than any two-edged sword, dividing asunder the soul and the spirit. It is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Now, if any of you feel led to assist us in this ministry, there will be an offering after the service. That will be great. But what we really want you to do, we want you to pray for us. Pray that God will continue to open doors for us to go in and tell people about Jesus. Pray that men will continue to serve as Gideons, to go and tell others about Jesus, to go outside the church. Pray that funds be available to purchase these little testaments, just for testimonies, just like you heard. Last year, the Gideons distributed 81.5 million of these testaments. What people don't know is that, my wife told me to tell people this, that the Gideons themselves, out of our own pockets, purchased roughly half of these, and church donations like we have here today purchased the other half. And we distribute, it comes out to be a little over two of these per second. Every day. The writer of Hebrews said, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside the weight and the sin that so easily ensnares us, and run with endurance the race set before us, looking to the author and the finisher of our faith, Jesus Christ, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and sit on the throne of the right hand of God. And he's sitting there praying for us, making intercession for us. May God bless y'all, and thank you.